My name is Daniel Matheson.
And I'm from Little Narrows. I'll be fourth generation on the farm where we are. My son Aiden's at the back there, my wife Renee, and Renee's uncle Bo. So we're Cape Bretoners. We attended church in Little Narrows all my life when I was a kid. That's where we went, Little Narrows Presbyterian Church. And I remember on Sunday mornings being extremely quiet, hoping my parents would sleep in so we could miss church, which sometimes worked. I went to high school in Iona, attended church until my mother couldn't make us go anymore. And then we go on Easter and Christmas, mostly just to keep her happy. And I started drinking when I was 15, because that's what everybody else was doing. And I was, a weekend drinker, casual drinker, well, maybe more than that. But that was just the culture. That's what we grew up in. That's what my parents drank and our friends all drank. So just that's the way it went. And then I was in Alberta for a few years, went to university at St. Evex, and then went right out to Alberta and started working out there. My brother came out a few years after that, and he died out there. He was 22 when he died. I was 24 at the time. And that's when I started using alcohol as a crutch. I went to the liquor store immediately when I heard about it. And for the next 10 months, I drank every chance I could get without considering myself an alcoholic. I wouldn't drink alone because I figured alcoholics drank alone. So that's how I justified what I was doing. And by the time I did deal with my brother's death, I realized that I had a drinking problem and I couldn't quit. And I craved it all the time. So I did my best to do without it. As long as I could stay away from it, I'd do pretty good. But I couldn't hang around with my old friends. If they were drinking, it was just, you just end up drinking. That's just how it is. So I found a job when I was in Alberta. I found myself all my life searching for something and never, ever having it satisfied. Even as a kid, I remember in junior high or elementary, I couldn't wait till I could get, you know, into the big school. We went to a little school in Little Narrows, just a one-room classroom. And I thought, well, once I get to the big school, then things will change. And then once I get to high school, then things will be better. And, you know, once I graduate, things will be better. And once I, you know, get my own job and move out, something's going to change. I always finally found myself searching for something. I believed in God, but I didn't know God. I prayed to God, but I never expected an answer. And like I said, I didn't know him. I didn't have a relationship with him. I didn't know you could have a relationship with him. So at this time, I'm 24 years old. Just started dating Renee. Fell in love for the first time. Finally found a job that I wanted as an electrician. I was going to school to become a journeyman. I had my own truck. Things were, at that point, the best they'd ever been. And I finally thought that this is it. We're going to get married. We're going to have a family. And then This is where it all is. So I was living in Edmonton at the time, and I decided to go to school. My boss encouraged me to go to school. I became an electrician it just happened. I needed a job, and this guy needed somebody to work for him. I had no intent in being an electrician, just needed a job. Started working for him. He encouraged me to go to school. I kind of thought, you know, I did enjoy it, and decided I'd go. But I couldn't get into Edmonton because it was a year wait. And I couldn't get into Calgary. I had friends in Calgary. I could go and stay with them, but there was a year wait there, too. So I applied at Grand Prairie, which is probably 3 or 4 hours outside of Edmonton, and I got accepted. But I didn't have any place to stay. So I went home that Christmas in December. I was going to start school in February, as that would have been the first year after my brother had died that my parents would be a home alone, essentially, without him. So I went home and stayed with them for a couple of months until I went to school. At home in December, that's when Renee and I got together, and then went back out in February and went to Grand Prairie. But I didn't make any arrangements for living accommodations, which is really not me. And if I can see now how God was working, so I ended up in Grand Prairie with no place to stay. I registered for school, went to the housing department, and they gave me a stack of papers about that thick, just 8.5 by 11, with lists and lists and lists and lists of housing places to stay in Grand Prairie. And the guy said to me, good luck. He said, there's a boom here in Grand Prairie. You can't find a motel to stay in. So that caused a little anxiety. So I started calling. And actually, beside each name was letters, like single female. SF would be single female or family or whatever. So I crossed off all the ones that didn't apply to me, and I started calling. So the first call or first couple of calls, I got a guy on the phone. He said, well, let me talk to my wife about it. Call us back in a half an hour, and we'll let you know. So for the next half hour, I phoned and phoned and phoned and phoned and phoned and phoned, and there was nothing, not a thing. So half hour's up, I called him back right away. He said, I'm going down to Revy, which would be like Home Depot or for us here or Central. He said, meet me there. He was driving a little red Mazda. He said, I'll meet you in the parking lot. So I met him in the parking lot. He had to go and do some shopping. He said, well, come on in with me. And, you know, he just wanted to talk to me, I guess, and see what I was all about. And so he said, well, why don't you come back up to the house? And he was a Nazarene pastor. He was from the United States. Him and his wife had come there. They were probably in their 30s, I guess, at that time. And they'd moved to Grand Prairie to start to plant a church. And they were meeting in the Holiday Inn, I believe it was. That's where they had started their congregation. So anyway, he says, come on back to the place and take a look. So when we pulled into his driveway, I had a hockey bag in the back of the truck, and I grabbed it, and I had no other place to stay. He said, it looks like you're staying. I said, oh, yeah, if you'll have me, I'm staying. So he took me into the house. It was a new home. It was beautiful. They had I pretty much had the whole basement to myself. There was a full bathroom down there, a bedroom, and then a big rec room, which is kids, was for the kids, but his kids at that time were two and probably one. They weren't very old, so they never used it. So I was there, had the whole place to myself, and his office was down there. So I was just studying one night, and he came down to his office, and my door was open. He just started talking, and he was talking about driving across the U.S. on his motorbike and getting stoned and drinking and partying with his friends. And to me, that was a shock, because I just assumed that every pastor grew up in a pastor's house, or, you know, they had the good life right through from the beginning. And I said, what do you know about drinking? And he said, I didn't become a Christian until I was 25. He said, are you a Christian? And if anybody else had asked me if I was a Christian, I would have said yes, because I grew up in what I considered a Christian home. We grew live in Canada, which is Christian. I went to church, which I would consider Christian. But when he asked me, and he's a pastor, and he's asking me, I didn't want to say yes, and I didn't want to say no, because I didn't know. I said, well, I'm not sure. He said, Daniel, if you don't know, he said, you're not. And he said, there's only two roads, and you're on the wrong one. And then he left me and went into his office. So that was the first time I ever had the cold sweats and I wasn't sick. I remember pacing back and forth in that room and looking out. It was a basement room, so there was nothing behind, just a new subdivision. And I just remember staring out that window, and I knew that I had to make a decision at that time. I can't explain why, but I knew. I knew what he said was right. And I'd heard that stuff before, but for some time, well, I mean, it was God obviously working, and that was my time to make that decision. So somehow along the line, I understood that I had to give everything up for God. So that was my choice to make. And I probably took me a couple of hours, maybe more, 2 or 3 hours from the time that he left me until I started right away. Just, I didn't know what to do. I knew I had to do something, but I didn't know which way to go. So I decided that night that I was going to give it all up. Except for Renee, I said I'd go to hell before I lose her, which was a foolish thing to say at that time, knowing what I know now. But it seemed wise to me at that time. But God works with us as new Christians. I mean, I was only just a few minutes old when I made that decision, and he worked with us. And we ended up splitting up for 4 years. I did have to give her up eventually, and we got back together, of course, 4 years later, and now we're married, and we have a son. But that's what God asks us, is to give everything up, that's what I had to do. So the next morning I woke up, and I had a little 76 Chev stepside with a 350 and a 400 transmission. I don't know if you know anything about trucks, but it was a nice little truck. I liked it. I liked it a lot. And I didn't know if it was going to be out in the parking lot. I really didn't know if it was going to be outside the house. That was how convinced I was that I'd given everything up. I didn't know what I was going to have. I didn't know what I was going to be able to keep. But I tell you, I was some happy when I came to the top of those stairs and seen that truck sitting out there in the driveway. So I, the next morning, it was the first time I'd ever, well, not ever, in months that I'd woken up and there was no craving for alcohol. I couldn't. It was just. It was amazing. I was so elated that next morning. I could have picked the corner of the house up if I had tried. And I didn't know anything about being born again or the new man and all that. That was all foreign to me. I didn't understand it, but I was experiencing it. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't actually learn about it until probably years after. But I was changed. And then the next thing I noticed was the filth that was coming out of my mouth. I really wasn't much for bad language or cursing and swearing, that sort of thing, but until I got to Alberta. And you're working in the oil patch. Man, oh man, the filth that comes out of their mouths is unbelievable. And I just picked it up and really didn't realize that I had until that next morning. It was almost like I was standing outside of myself listening to someone else speak. I couldn't believe the words that were rolling out of my mouth, but that was the Holy Spirit, I know now, within me, convicting me of that. So that was one of the first things that I had to change, was my mouth. So, got talking to the pastor, and of course, he led me in the sinner's prayer a couple of days after that. I didn't have the heart to tell him that I had done it myself that night that he told me. So he asked me one night to take the sign in for his church, and went down with him, and I just prayed a simple prayer, and gave my life to Christ then. He filled out a little card and gave it to me. I still have the card. And he said, he asked me where I lived in Edmonton, and I told him. He said, there's a church, he says, right around that area. And there was. There was a church, well, a block from where I was living in Edmonton, and I didn't even know it was there. Of course, it's a modern church. I was used to churches, two steeples or one steeple, and it didn't look anything like it. So I started attending that Nazarene church there. And I learned through a friend at work just a little bit more about God and how he works in us and the relationship that we can have with him. And I started praying more. I'm still learning about prayer. Prayed my way home, prayed to God that he would give us direction and for Renee and I in our marriage. And I just felt that he called us to be home. 2 years ago, we started visiting Marguerite Church, which is where we attend now. And I felt strongly, I can tell you that I heard from God that he wanted us to be in Marguerite Church. The church we were in was the church I had attended as a child in Little Narrows. And it was really hard for us because we didn't have any Christian friends. I shouldn't say that. The Christian friends we had were in their 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And that's nothing wrong with that. Great wisdom we got from them. But we needed friends our own age. We needed friends with small families, and that's why God got us over in Marguerite, and we've been attending faithfully now since over 2 years. Rarely do we miss a Sunday, and it's an amazing church. And it's amazing what God can do to a person's life. I thought I was a pretty good person. I drank, I stole, I lied, I cheated, but I still thought I was pretty good because I didn't do that much of it, right? But God showed me where I was and where I needed to be. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to give your life to Christ and to be able to put your faith and your trust in him and just to be able to live every day like that. So that's my story, and that's where we're at now, and we're still growing every day. And it's a wonderful thing. Thanks.